Warning, the Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. It's simple, really. You either want to grow in virtue and holiness, or you want to be a sissy, whiny baby. If you choose to move forward, grab your whiskey glass, because the Catholic Man Show is starting right now.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. Adam Minahan here, sitting with David Niles. Guys, by the time this comes out, the Catholic Man Show campout signups will be up.
Oh, yeah.
So, I've been getting a lot of emails, a lot of phone calls, a lot of text messages. You've not missed it. I'm just behind. Mm-hmm. Shocker. I'm behind.
What are you, like, moving or something? Yeah.
Well, you know what? Speaking of, so as we're recording this tonight, I'm leaving my house, or your house, to go to my old house one last time to pick up.
Oh, you're doing that tonight?
Tonight. I have to, because...
I thought you meant you were doing that tomorrow.
No, we close tomorrow morning.
For some reason, I thought you meant you're getting up early to go over there early in the morning.
No, because we have our men's group tomorrow morning.
Right, so you're doing it...
Tonight.
Tonight.
Yeah, so I'm going over there, I'm picking up my last load of stuff that we have over at that house. And throughout the move, you know, we've been moving all this stuff, and especially in the garage, and there's all this wood that I have in my garage, right? And breaking news, I'm very excited. The lumber that I have been hauling around since 2013 into the three homes now, I think, I used it today.
Yes.
Because I knew someday,
I knew it. Right.
It was... Just out
there was a reason, obviously.
Right. And obviously, out of prudence, I was not going to not move this wood.
It's funny how protective, at least I am and you are, and it's got to be other men too, about wood in general. Like when I moved, one of the very first things is like, I'm getting this firewood. And look, you don't understand. This is my firewood. I'm taking...
Listen,
like,
you don't know how many...
Like I think a lot of guys might leave the firewood... Not this guy, okay?
No.
Look, it's not in the contract, and if you had tried to add it in the contract, actually, I would have, yes, certainly I could have sold you the firewood if that's what it takes, but that wasn't in there. I'm totally taking this firewood.
Right. Yeah, so I was laughing about it as I was using it tonight, thinking like,
see?
This wood.
See?
Yeah. It's so, I mean, and the wood is not, I mean, it's just regular treated pine wood. I mean, it's not like that it's...
Not like you can just get it anywhere.
Yeah.
They don't sell this at Quick Trip.
Right. So it was good to do. Anyway, but yeah, so I'm going over there tonight. It was very interesting. I was there earlier today getting the second to last load. And I was like looking around and I just remember, you know, giving thanks and being so grateful for the wall, you know, this home, the walls in this home, because my whole family has grown up in this home. There's been so much of my life that has participated in, you know, that has been a part of this home.
Sure.
And I was very, like, there was a sense of pride of, I'm leaving this home in better shape than what it was whenever I got it.
Man, that is the truth. I mean.
Yeah. Like, well, the home, I bought it foreclosed.
Right.
So it was rough.
It was not the best. But it was always a really great house. But with just, you know, like simple things like raising the canopy of your tree in
right.
front of the house
sure.
so that when you drive by,
you can actually see
the house. It's yeah. amazing. Doing that.
Was a big deal. Maybe this is because
if your trees in front of your house are blocking view of your house, raise the canopy. It'll be instantly worth like thousands of dollars more.
Maybe it's just because I've been reading a lot of Wendell Berry recently and like, the importance of...
Gotta be careful.
I know.
You might... You get into a romantic headspace.
I do. Have you read much Wendell Berry?
No, I haven't.
And, like, man,
but
I've
listened to a lot of, like, things on his work, you know, like, I'm very familiar with him.
He's one of the guys that I disagree with a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say sometimes.
Like, yeah, I should say more, probably more sometimes.
It's not like...
It's like some things I absolutely disagree with him, like, wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. And then other times I just want to give him a big hug and be like, thank you for opening this world up to me. Yes. Like, made me think this way.
And sometimes I disagree with him in the way he... I agree with him in a philosophical principle. But his application of that philosophical principle, that tends to be like...
Yes, I disagree with his philosophy too. But I like the importance of taking care of your land,
mm-hmm.
whether it's land in urban city or suburban, like wherever it is, like
right.
The Lord has given you this plot.
Yeah, even if it's 1,000 square foot backyard.
Right, and 1,000 years ago, others. We're taking care of this land, and now it's been, passed on to you. And like, it's your job to take care of this. This is God's creation. Anyway, there was a lot of nostalgia. There's a lot of like emotions of like great, gratitude. And then a little sorrow of like leaving, even though I already have a new place and I love our new place.
Yeah.
I love the sunsets. I love all the things that our house has given us, mm-hmm. and land has given us, but it's very interesting to
yeah. You've got a move. good piece of land.
Yeah, yeah.
It's nice property.
I'm excited, it's like, and nervous.
So after tomorrow morning,
that other one's gone. Yeah,
you won't be a baron anymore. With
I won't have
ownership of multiple. I have multiple properties.
Multiple properties. Yes,
so. Baron Minahan.
But you just got back from your 7-month vacation in the summer.
It was great. It was great.
Yeah.
Feels
yeah.
like it was only a little over 2 weeks, but that's the way vacations go. I want to talk about. We're very blessed to have a place like we go to. We're going to be talking about stability and its role in vacations today, which is something that
seems counterintuitive, being that you're saying stability in somewhere that you're leaving and coming from.
Yes, it does. Yeah, and it's something that I've
or going to and leaving.
Heard other people talk about. And so I just want to share some of my thoughts and some of your thoughts on the subject today. We're drinking a whiskey today.
Shocker. That's actually all we're going to say. We're drinking.
It's a little whiskey called Life is Sweet. It's from the Balcones family. It is a Scotch Malt Whiskey Society. Even though this is a bourbon, they do.
It's delicious.
They do bourbon. It's fantastic. I really like Balcones. It's only 3 years old,
which is incredible. It's so toasting marshmallows on cinnamon sticks as chocolate drops of rain down on cherries, banana shortbread, and gather in puddles of praline.
You know what? That's exactly what it tastes like.
I like gathering puddles of praline.
Yes.
I love that alliteration.
It's good puddles of praline.
Praline.
Are they prancing puddles of praline on the palate?
Particular pralines.
Yes, exactly.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers.
Cheers to Jesus.
It's good to see you again.
I know, dude.
One other thing that happens that doesn't really happen the rest of the year is typically whenever you're gone, you and I don't talk at all. Very rarely.
I did call you though a couple times.
We did. Well, there was a couple things we just had to figure out. But yeah. We typically don't talk a whole lot.
A lot of the reason is there's no cell phone reception where I go.
Praise God.
It's awesome.
Okay, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
When you retire,
mm-hmm.
are you going to have a smartphone?
Oh, I'm sure I will. I don't know. There's no way for me to answer that question. That heavily depends on many, many things that I, if my kids,
my grandkids. Are you going to have the chip installed in your skin?
Never.
Like?
I will never, ever, ever.
That's what everybody's doing.
I don't care what other people do. I'm not going to do that.
But you think you'd have a smartphone?
Yes, I believe I have one now. And so I have one now as a choice. It's not a necessity. And so I have no reason to think that I wouldn't continue to make that choice as a retired person. What about you? You seem to be like, I can tell by the look on your face that
I'm a marketing guy. I have to have a phone.
So you, when you retire, you're gonna get rid of your smartphone?
I think so. I don't know. I mean, like,
hard to say. It's a long way
but
away.
But like, let's say hypothetically.
The thing is, I know a lot of people who have tried to do this.
Yeah.
And almost all of them, not all of them, but almost all of them, you know, they go
revert
to the light.
Back.
They go to the light phone, or they go to the.
I know. This is why I don't.
And
do
they almost all of them come back.
They revert
to the
back.
Smartphone. And then they just like, you know what, I just like limited the permissions of the apps. And, you know, it's like, yeah. The Light Phone, I think, is a great product. If for the people
the
who...
The Wise Phone, I think, is another one, right?
Yes.
Or whatever.
Like, if that's what you're looking for, that's perfect. It's great. I'm glad that it's out there for people.
So hypothetically, let's just say I'm retiring next week.
Okay.
I don't think I would have a smartphone.
Really? I mean, I think life was better before smartphones.
We have a home phone now. We have a home phone.
Dude, I need your number.
I don't even know it.
Hey, call me when you get home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it a home phone? Is it a cell phone?
No. It is a landline.
It's a landline.
It's a landline.
Like from...
And it,
like AT&T.
And it's not a cordless. We did it intentionally.
Do you have the cord that's like half a mile long?
No. And we did that intentionally.
Do you remember that?
We never had those.
Ours, oh dude, we had one. Like from the door, it could go across the house and into like through multiple doorways. I could sit on the couch on the other side of the house.
Yeah. No, we never had that.
Somebody else is trying to walk through the house. It's like they had to limbo.
Right.
It's classic.
I don't think I would though. I would at least would not. I would try to maybe 6 months or a year and see what I think.
That wire cord, the long one, it was anticipating the cell phone yet to come.
Yeah.
We'll be back. Do you feel like God is calling you to go on a pilgrimage? Well, for the last 34 years, Select International Tours has been leading pilgrimages to holy sites all over the world.
And you want, when you go on pilgrimages, Dave, you want to make sure you have the best hotels, you're touring with the best guides, and every detail has been addressed.
And that's exactly what you're getting with Select International Tours. So, for more information, go to their brand new website, selectinternationaltours.com. They have been a sponsor of the Catholic Man Show for a long time now. Even during the COVID pandemic, they were still sponsoring our show. A lot of other tour companies were really shutting down. These guys were consistent. So go to selectinternationaltours.com to find out more information about all the great pilgrimages they offer all over the world. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan. Adam was just talking about his landline. You should give him a phone call.
I think again, this is maybe just me diving into so much of Wendell Berry and the romanticism of, like, listen, if you want to get a hold of me, come over.
You have to come over. Yeah.
It's or, like, give me a call.
The funny thing is, like, how does Wendell Berry feel about landlines? You know, he probably had one, but, you know, he was probably...
He has one.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
But still, like, the thing about technology is we tend to look back, like...
He doesn't, like, hate technology.
I know, but
Although he did write an essay on why I'm not buying a computer, and he held to that. He didn't even buy a typewriter for years.
You see, so what happens is you always tend to look back about a generation or two... And say that was the best. That should be the place we stop with new technology, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And in the future, people will be doing the same thing. It's like, oh, well, I'm not getting the 3D thing, or you know, whatever right.
Whatever the new thing.
But they're
going to
say,
be.
But smartphones were good, you know. And right. Here we are saying smartphones were was better without them, you know.
But there's a clear difference in what smartphones do and what. You know, the other technology in the earlier 20th
right. Oh,
century.
There's no doubt about that because technology in the past was designed to accomplish a task.
Right. There was an end in mind.
Right. Whereas the smartphone specifically has ends that it is oriented towards.
Right.
But ultimately, it is designed to keep you attached.
Right. And I just want to give a shout out to my third grade teacher, Mrs. Tate. who said that I would not have a calculator in my pocket growing up when I was trying to
take that. Math.
It's like, Miss Tate, listen, I do. Turns out I do have a calculator
and
in my
pocket. And I
don't
even have to use it because it just talks to me.
Yeah. Take that, Miss Tate.
It also knows how to spell things.
She's probably actually, she was such a holy woman. She was really great. It was back when public schools still had like really good. I'm sure they're still public schools.
Don't. Yeah. You are treading in such dangerous waters. That's there fine. Are a lot of great teachers out there, but there's a lot of bad schools.
Yeah. So World Ending Fire, that's a book that I highly recommend from Wendell Berry.
Okay.
It's a compilation of different poem or different essays that he's written over the course of his life. I think he's like 94, 95 at this point. Very old, you know, he's a very old man, has lived through a lot. The writer left his Kentucky home to be like the big shot writer, realized, nope, I am called back to the land. And, you know, he's been a farmer and philosopher and writer and
a lot of really good, interesting things.
They're thought provoking.
Exactly. Like you said, even if you don't agree with all of them,
it's like,
it's still, I have been very edified by having pondered them.
Right.
And it's like, even if you disagree, I'm still very thankful. Like, you know, I would have never even thought about this.
World Ending Fire. That's the compilation I think that very people should check out. He also has some great novels. I'm listening to a novel right now too.
Dude, can I tell you something that happened to me on my way home?
Yeah. Did you hit a wolf?
No. Thank God. We stay out of wolf country. Yeah. That's a totally other vacation on totally other story. That was the worst.
It had ramifications for so long.
Dude, it was the worst. don't hit
wolves.
Don't hit a wolf on the highway.
It's so big.
It will wreck your car. So we're driving, we're coming out of Michigan, we're coming into Chicago. We go through Chicago.
Chi-town.
Yeah. And
the Windy City.
I'm driving, and up ahead, I see all of these
Sunshine State.
All of these lights. No. You know, it's not even windy in Chicago.
I know. Yeah.
For a different reason.
Right.
It's politicians.
Yep.
But I see all of these lights coming at me. And the first thing I thought was like, you know, the Democratic convention was here in Chicago.
Right.
Not that long ago. Shoot, like maybe...
Maybe Kamala's
maybe
hanging
Kamala
out.
Kamala Harris, or you know, somebody.
Kamala.
Yeah, however you say her name.
Kamala.
Is coming this way. Or, you know, I thought it was a political escort at first, because there was like 20 cops.
Yeah.
All with their lights on.
Yeah.
But then I realized, like, I don't think that's what's going on, because the highway isn't clear. There's still other cars ahead of this wall of policemen coming. And as it gets closer, I realize this is a high-speed chase. And I'm in the left lane going the other way, and it's coming like right by me. It was very exciting. Not that I endorse running from the police
at all.
Right. Okay?
It's a loser's errand.
Yes, but
which,
like,
by the way, did he get away?
So as he was coming, I don't know if it was a hubcap or something like, I don't know if like they hit him with spike strips right in front of me. Something went off of his wheel, went flying off the other direction, so I didn't get a good look at it.
Dude, if it hit your car.
No, we're not going to go there. But so I immediately like look in my side view mirror to see, and as I look, I see this car like slam into the concrete wall,
and all of
the cop cars like just like crush him in, right? Because they want to pin you in, so you can't go anywhere.
Yeah,
it was just like, oh, dude,
that's crazy.
So I have no idea what was going on, but for the next like 10 minutes, it was just cop car. Like, if you wanted to commit a crime in Chicago,
now's the time.
That was the moment. Okay,
because
every police officer within like 20 miles. Because if you're a police officer, you're totally gonna show up, right?
Oh yeah.
Like, hey, the guys.
Unless I'm,
they've already got him like pinned. Like, hey, well, we
Maybe I can get the interview.
Yeah.
Maybe like, you can be on.
If you're on the force, you're like, well, I don't want to miss it.
Maybe I'll be on Channel 8 News tonight.
It's
I don't know.
This is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Let's go over there and help out.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a pretty exciting thing. Another thing exciting that happened on our vacation, a rare moment. First of all, we're in northern Michigan. It's where we're going. It's where we were. Very few snakes. Almost no snakes in northern Michigan.
Cold-blooded.
We did see a big, what I think was a garter snake. And we were on a hike that was in the process of eating.
Did you say garter snake?
Yes.
That's the pronunciation? I've been saying it wrong my whole
life. No. I don't know. I think that there are some people call them gardener snakes.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's the same snake. It's not one of those, like, around here in Oklahoma, we have these, like, little bitty.
No, there's gardener snakes that are massive.
Okay. I've heard both. I don't know. I'm not.
Dude, I may be saying this wrong.
I think
for
actually
years.
People say it both ways. I have no idea. Okay. I'm not a snake expert.
Gosh.
But it was in the process of eating a very large toad. And it was very cool. It was a very, like, So it was like, there it was right next to the path with these toad legs sticking out of its mouth.
Wow.
And so we just sat there for a second and it went like, pop, and spat the toad out and went into a hole real quick.
The toad was still alive. Wow.
It was not doing well.
Dude, speaking of not doing well, you know what else isn't doing well?
Hmm.
A lot of our chickens.
Oh, no. Is it the dog still?
Molly only has she only killed one, scared of all of them multiple times. I think there's just like a hole somewhere that they're escaping, and I just got to figure this out.
And they're not showing back up.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, so... Yeah. The thing about having chickens is there's just a no matter what you do,
right.
There's a constant attrition rate. And the only thing you can do is have enough birds so that it doesn't matter so much.
Right.
And try to keep it, slow it down.
Right.
Because just like you want to eat them, so does everything else.
Right. Yeah.
And like you just hope that you are the one that in fact gets to mm-hmm. eat them. Do you have a rooster?
Mm-hmm.
You do? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
What kind of rooster do you have? Do you know?
I don't. I think his name is Edward.
Mm. Okay, that's a totally different question. It's cool. It's cool, bro.
So whatever Edwards typically are. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I've seen some of those Tractor Supply Edwards.
Yeah. Okay, let's get into it.
Very good.
We're almost out of time.
Yeah, but it's okay. So we kind of mentioned already, I want to talk about stability in vacation. So we've got a few minutes here before the break. Let's just talk about stability.
Let's talk about oxymoron. You ready? Let's do this.
Okay. Stability is not something that you hear talked about very often in this context. It's sort of like a dedication to a specific place. So you and I think probably both first encountered the idea of stability in this frame of mind from the Clear Creek monks, because mm-hmm. they actually take vows of stability.
Right. It's their fourth vow.
It's the fourth vow. Yeah. They take the evangelical counsels, poverty, chastity, and obedience. And then they take also a vow of stability, which is they just promise never to leave. It's a vow to that land, to this specific place. Now, they can leave if the abbot
allows it.
Orders them to, right? Because, right, there are, for instance, Clear Creek setting up a sister monastery in New Mexico.
Right.
So some of them are going to help get that started, but, you know, they will come back because they've taken a vow to the land there at Clear Creek to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting thing. It's an interesting concept to promise yourself to, like, a specific acreage,
mm-hmm.
you know, or like to this hill.
I have strong feelings about this. I'm not going to reveal all of them because I think it'd be another good topic for a whole episode. But I have very strong feelings about stability.
Yes. Especially I think with family life.
Yeah.
Right. We'll have to have that conversation soon. When we get back, we're going to keep talking about vacations.
About leaving.
And coming back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Dude, I haven't even told you about this, but we have some very special things that are going to be happening at the camp out this year. We're having a couple guys come out. One is a pipe maker. We're having him out.
That sounds special.
And he's going to be offering, like, because he makes handmade pipes. And he's going to be coming to our camp out from Washington.
I bet I can make it better than you.
Well, I don't think that's true, but...
it's a competition.
Yeah, and I think you'd lose, but...
we'll see, my friend.
But I don't even think he's going to do pipe making, but he's going to have all of his pipes there, and you can buy some.
Oh, he's not going to help us make pipes?
Well, I don't think... No, I don't think so.
We'll tell him to bring at least two sets.
Can you bring your lathe? Can you bring...
Yeah.
Can you bring all of that?
Yeah. Look, we already have a forge.
Right.
In camp out, in the camp.
But I have some things that I'm cooking up. That's going to be special for the camp out.
Giddy up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, let's talk about vacation.
CatholicManager.com. That's where you can find out about the camp out.
Definitely check that out. So,
vacay.
We just talked about leisure not too long ago.
We've
talked about leisure many, many times. Vacation, I think, is not the epitome. It's a really good example of striving for leisure.
Okay? Possibly.
I don't know that vacation always is leisure. And sometimes I think you realize going into it, that's not what it's going to be. You know, maybe it's more about, you're just trying to make sure the kids have fun, okay? Mm-hmm. And I do think that that is something that there's a priority to the family and the children. Children cannot create
maybe
their own.
Maybe you're just trying to do unwind, like just to unwind, which
yeah,
isn't true leisure.
It's not true leisure, but it's still like, if that's what you need, okay? Right. I mean, like, but that's, I feel like we should shoot for more.
Yes.
Okay. But we do have to make sure that the kids, we are giving some priority there because children cannot create their own spaces for leisure. You know what I mean?
Really?
They're not master of their own domain, nor depending on the age of your children especially, but you know, I have young children. They don't know how to...
Well, like, I mean, they go to school.
Yes, but
I mean,
for them,
school,
that's work.
Well,
that
no,
is work
that's
for them.
Actually, true leisure.
They don't think so.
Well,
they're doing it. It's not leisure for them because they're not doing it for its own sake. They're doing it because I'm making them do it. If it were up to them, their children, they don't know how to make those good leisurely choices yet. This is what I'm getting at is they're not well formed enough yet to actually create leisure. The way that it ought to be, right? And so we have to, as adults, make sure. Sometimes on a vacation, yeah, you're setting up a space so that they, you know, you just want them to have a good time anyway. I mean,
right.
Maybe it's just we're all having fun as a family,
that's what
making
sidewalk
good,
truck is for
good,
right?
Making good memories, whatever. And maybe that's work for you. You know, maybe actually vacation.
Have you done sidewalk truck? Like as an old person, like
no.
Kneeling down on your knees or like bending down like that.
I'm the guy who like sits there in a chair and watches them chalk. I'm not.
Yeah.
I can't chalk. I'm good at virtually everything except drawing. I cannot draw.
No, you can't draw.
If there was a drawing competition, like I'm not kidding. My 8-year-old, no, she's 9. My 9-year-old can draw better than I can.
Yeah, of course.
It's embarrassing. But anyway. So the point I'm trying to say is that sometimes vacations are not leisurely, but they can be. And I think that's something to strive for. And the things that I want to talk about tonight, they're not the only way to make a vacation leisurely. But I do want to talk about something something we have a unique opportunity in our family has created a lot of leisure when we go on vacation.
Okay.
And so I want to share some of my insights, and I want to talk about the idea of, and this is something that many people have different opinions on, do you have like a vacation spot, Or when you go on a vacation, do you want to go to a new place every year? Now, some of that is just going to depend on your temperament, right? Some people just prefer one of those mm-hmm. over the other. Mm-hmm. Both of them are good, okay? I'm not here to put down one or the other. I just want to talk about the good things of going to one particular place year after year, or maybe not all the time, but like on a somewhat consistent basis, okay? We have a cabin in Michigan, northern Michigan. It was built by my great uncle almost 90 years ago. It's just a log cabin, a legit log cabin. There's a lot of things, a lot of amenities it doesn't have, right? There's no dishwasher. It's a tiny cabin, and we try to put all these people in it. It's a little bit chaotic, but it's up, like I said, in northern Michigan, in just this gorgeous part of the country.
Yeah, it is. I'd love to go back
sometime. I know. I think about that all the time.
It's like, because I haven't been there in
Yeah, we you years. Were like probably eight or something yeah, the last time you were there. So when we go, it's and our family is very like tradition oriented.
30 years ago.
I know, dude. It's crazy. So we tend to, when we go to our cabin, we do the same things every year. We eat the same meals. We go to the same, like, we go to the same towns. Like, it's not always exactly the same every time, but there's a lot of sameness. Mm-hmm. All the time. It's filled with sameness, right? We have all these traditions, walks to the pine forest, hiking Mount Pisgah, you know, like playing, it's on a lake, all of these things. And they're all really, really great things. Some people might hear that and say, like, you just do the same thing all the time? And the answer is yes. And for us, that is an essential part of creating and making sure that we actually have real leisure when we go on vacation. And having done this now, like, my kids are the fourth generation of Niall's family that has been going to this cabin.
Do you think your great uncle even considered that as he was building it?
No. I mean, it was, I don't think so. Because my great uncle built our cabin. My great grandfather built the one next to us. And so that was actually the original Niall's cabin, which now is owned by like my dad's cousin. But my grandfather bought the one next to us that was built by his uncle at the time. So, like, my grandfather and his brother, mm-hmm. you know, it was, mm-hmm. like, really this great setup. You know, they every summer they'd go and spend the summers yeah. together at this cabin. So now, but my children are the fourth generation of Niles who've been coming to this, like, this cabin or, like, this lake every year
yeah.
of their life. And so I was beautiful. Really thinking about that today and just what a rich tradition to be able to offer for our family, which is, I understand, it's a real blessing to have. Mm-hmm. But it's made me think about vacations. And the sameness does, it offers some benefits. One of them is really reduces stress.
Mm.
Okay, so vacations can be very stressful. Everybody knows this. And like a lot of the reason for that is just the unknown. You're going to a place, if it's new, like, okay, well, what is the lodging going to be like? You know, how are the beds going to be? Are they going to have good pillows?
Is it analogous to, like, just traveling at the airport because there's so much unknown?
Yeah, probably, but...
Like, that's the worst. Like, people get more uptight and have more anxiety about...
But with the airport, traveling. You just don't even know if it's going to happen, okay?
I just paid a lot of money.
The airport, I don't even know if it's gonna... it doesn't get any worse than the airport, yeah. okay? But you have an Airbnb, and it's like, are they going to have good pillows? Are they going to have the pillows I like? Are they going to have...
Do you think about that?
I don't. I'm not a high-maintenance sleeper, no. right? But there's just... I'm just trying to say whatever. It's going to like, oh, are they going to have space for the kids? Is it actually going to be like what the reviews said, right?
Sure.
So if you go to a place that you're familiar with, all of that
is goes out the window.
Right, because you know, oh... There's a, yep, oh, I've been there. There's actually a fridge in the whatever, whatever. You know, all of that stuff is already known. And that goes a long way already in letting you kind of just relax. And it's like, hey, we're going to be doing certain things when we go here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be doing those things because they're good. We've already done them. And we know that they're good. And so we're now already... taking a huge step into leisure. We're not like, oh, gonna see about them, because leisure always does something for its own sake. Okay. It's not because, oh, I'm going to get something out of doing it. It's just like, this is a good thing to do. So we're going to do it, right? And one thing I mentioned to you before we got started was there's something analogous in the relationship between obedience and freedom. There's a paradox there that you can't actually have real freedom if you don't have obedience to something, right? And that obedience actually is the like the breeding ground for true freedom to actually take place. There's something very similar, I think, that happens with leisure. And if you're traveling to a place that you know what this place has to offer, okay? You don't get to be the one who decides what it has to offer, okay? You just have to say yes to those things. And so there is sort of like a very freeing, there's a freedom in that that you can rest in. And once again, creates another layer of leisure. And you can only have that if you know a place. Okay, it's like, yes, we're going back to this particular place. We've just got a couple more minutes, another minute here, but I also want to talk about, on the other side of the break, the things that happen to your children as they grow, going to one place over and over and over and over and over and over again.
All right. Well, let's take a quick vacation from the episode.
And then we'll come back.
And then we'll come back.
To the same place. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I forgot how to count.
Yeah, he said like, hey, this is segment four.
Which means it's me.
Yeah. And then at the very end.
I'm sitting here looking at you like bro.
When are you going to go? When are
the
you
music
start?
Is.
Oh, dying.
Come on. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan.
We're a Catholic radio show as well. Like, this is why we get people asking. I get emails and things like, why do you have segments? Like, why do you have breaks? We're on the Catholic radio.
The Catholic radio.
The Catholic radio.
All so, over the place.
That's why.
We're on actually many of them, but anyway. We're talking about vacations. And specifically, we're talking about the pros of going to a vacation spot or doing a thing. At the end, I don't actually think you have to go to one spot all the time. I do want to mention that I think the things we're talking about today can be achieved by having just a vacation tradition, okay? Like, oh, we always do fill in the blank when we go on vacations.
We always eat bologna and cheese sandwiches.
Bologna and
on
cheese
the way.
Sandwiches, right, in the car.
Right.
Like, that's a vacation tradition that
Dad
we have.
Dad always yells at us to be quiet.
Right, yes.
As he swerves in and out of traffic.
We always have a terrible time.
Yeah.
Dad always has a terrible time on vacation. It's a tradition.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something you'll remember forever, kids.
We have a tradition of having a budget that we don't follow on vacation. Yeah. Stuff like that. Okay. So I do want to mention that I don't think you have to be like, oh yes, we always go to the same resort. Or we always go to the same, you know, fill in the blank, in order for a lot of this to happen. But one thing that I have noticed about, you know, going to the same place, you know, here we go into our cabin and I've watched our children get the opportunity to conquer things. So as they get older, you know, like when they're little, they're afraid to run and jump off the end of the dock. Okay. And then they reach that year where they finally do it. Okay. They've been looking at that dock, you know, their whole life, which has been very short, but when they finally jump off that dock, mm-hmm. you know, where the year before they said they were going to and they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And they remember that. And then this year they do it, right? It's a much deeper memory. It's a more profound moment mm-hmm. than if we were just at another lake and they finally jumped off a dock,
mm-hmm.
than jumping off the dock, right? And that's just one example that you can imagine that happens all the time with all of your kids. And then your older kids watch your younger kids have that same moment on the same dock.
Right. I mean, your parents did that. Like when we went up to your cabin 30 years ago, approximately, and you know, it's in the middle of summer, but the water is still 50 something degrees. You know, it's still freezing cold. But you want to get in cause you're a kid and it's like, no, it's not cold. It's not, no, I'm fine. Like I want to do it. And we were just at that age where we were learning to water ski. I think we were also learning to maybe, I can't remember if we were learning to slalom or like,
I think we were just skiing.
Yeah. And we were learning to do it off the dock. So that way we wouldn't have to actually be underneath the water for too long.
Right. Yeah. Cause you don't want to sit out there.
Right. Cause it's freezing.
Shivering. Yeah.
It's so cold. And you know, your dad had seen this happen for years, you know, growing up, and then he watched us do it. Right.
Right.
And next year, you're probably going to see Elizabeth do it.
It makes the memories of the vacation.
Sure.
Actually more profound. You think that it would make them, right off the bat, when you think about it, it's like, oh, well, you've already been to this place. It's not going to be as memorable because you've already been there. And I actually think that it becomes more memorable because you start to know the place. And it teaches you and your kids to appreciate traditions, which as a Catholic is a really important thing.
By the way, that was the only time that I ever successfully got on the skis from a dock start.
Really?
That's the last time I ever tried it, but there's no sense in doing it any other time.
Dude, afterwards, at the end, I'm going to tell you about canoe ski.
Okay.
Excellent. Especially for me, being the guy in the canoe. Hilarious story. But, you know, like this, these traditions, I think there's a lot to be appreciated there as you appreciate tradition for its own sake. And all of the traditions we have in the Catholic Church, you know, you begin to really value tradition. And that has given me a really good, a deep appreciation for what we do, have all of the traditions we celebrate in the Mass, that we have, you know, throughout the liturgical calendar, you know, and it just gives me a deeper appreciation for being Catholic. You can also do these, like, really great things about, like, hey, for instance, I can show you pictures that my family has in the same spot. We always take a picture in this place, right? And it's really cool to see
over time,
like how you change. Yeah, exactly. And it's just it's hard to express how much I appreciate having that, you know, looking back.
Sure.
I also think that this, and I want to get your thoughts on this. It promotes this idea of belonging to a place instead of simply consuming a place.
Mm.
That I think that a lot of times when we travel to new places all the time, and I'm using traveling as the example here, but that's just because that's the example I'm using. But it's like, okay, check that off the box.
Mm.
Went there, saw the Grand Canyon, don't need to go back. And instead of like appreciating a place for what it is, belonging to it, and realizing that the place is here before me, it will be here after me, that it is actually in many ways, in a certain way, greater than I am.
Mm.
I'm now making myself greater than it by seeking to consume it and move on, right? Where when we go to
So what's your question?
Well, when we go to a place year in year, it changes our mental attitude of wanting to belong to a place.
Yeah.
Instead of simply consuming it.
Totally.
Yeah. I also think that it helps fight against modernity by teaching us to find new things in the familiar. Okay. One thing that I think is just one of the problems of our age is something called hedonic adaptation.
Okay.
That's the scientific word for it. That's where you get less and less pleasure from a certain stimulus the more times you do it. Okay. Think less of doom scrolling.
Yeah.
Sure. Right. Okay. This is just something that we just have so much opportunity to do now.
Yeah.
Okay. And
lucky for us,
forcing yourself to find new in the familiar, okay, is an antidote to that constant search for the new shiny thing.
This is why my wife and I like have made it a point to go watch the sunset.
Yes. I think that's a great example.
And, you know, as we continue doing it, which we haven't done every single night, but like we typically try to, like, the best we can is like, oh, we're in the middle of dishes. Stop dishes.
Yes. Which,
like, is tough to do. Like,
no, not for me. Oh. I'm always looking for a good excuse to stop doing the dishes.
Or like, you know, whatever you're doing is like, no, stop doing that. Let's get outside.
Yeah. I also think that when you are doing the same things all the time, it becomes less about what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And more about who you're doing them with.
Sure, of
course. Which once again is an antidote to the consumeristic mentality, right? Because often our vacations, if we're just trying to be a consumer of a new place, once again, I'm going to check Miami Beach off the list. You know, I'm going to check whatever off the list. Then you really are just wanting, once again, to be a consumer of things. And you cannot have leisure if that's what you're trying to do. Right? If you're just going to do it and like, yes, I'm just going to so that I can say I've, you know, it's almost like I want to possess this thing and take it away with me. That way I can like say I did it. I got the t-shirt, you know, and you weren't actually, you're not actually going to like rest in this place, right? You're just going to conquer it.
Okay.
And it becomes a weird form of work. Like maybe a very fun form of work, but it's not leisure.
Most of my vacations are not like leisure.
Well, I'm not saying that like they're always going to be.
Yeah.
Right.
Most of mine are not.
And even for me,
very rarely are they actually.
For me,
in this time period,
you know, it's like we go to the same places. There's still plenty of work. You know, as I've grown and my family gets bigger, you know, for me going to our cabin, even as a young adult, it was about, oh, here's the things I want to do.
Right.
And then you start to have kids,
right?
And now, like, I had to let go of a lot of the things I used to do when we go to the cabin, and just the way it is, and
right.
In the beginning, that was kind of hard for me to do.
Sure.
But I now appreciate it because I'm watching my kids now
have their own
things,
yeah.
Right? And start to really grow and develop in this place that I really love. So I do want to tell my Kanuski story on the other side of the break. But just think about it. Think about the way way you travel with your family or whatever you do as a vacation. Because if it can be leisurely for you and for them, it's a better vacation.
More the Lord's team.
The winning side.
Dude, that was a heck of a monologue. Look at those wavelengths.
You're welcome.
That was just incredible. The last 24 minutes.
It's longer than that.
The last 24 minutes.
So
that was some monologues.
So you mentioned learning to ski. This is like a couple years, maybe the year after you came up. We took some of my cousins up to the cabin, and they were also going to learn to ski. My cousin George, real tall, lanky kid at the time, especially. And
not so much anymore.
He's still real tall, but you know. When you become a man, you kind of like lose that lankiness. Yeah. So
I wasn't calling him fat.
No. That's yeah. He's not. But when you're in that stage of life, coordination, and he's tall, like that, which wasn't his game. Coordination wasn't like, it's not his thing. So he's trying to ski. the skis are like going all over the place, even off the end of the dock, because he was a little bit like heavier than 8-year-old versions of us. And so the boat we had just didn't have enough to keep him up, right? And so we came up with this idea of what if he sits on the very front of the canoe, you know, just like that, like the very front, and I'd be in the back to help like stabilize it until we have no idea if this is gonna work. So it does, like he's able to sit on the front and I'm like in the back and able to balance it, and he's like, all right, he's able to sit here. Step number one, get him the rope, you know. And the boat starts idling out. The rope gets a little tight, but it's just idling. And he's like, yep, he's still got his balance. And so my dad, he's driving. He like puts down the throttle. The boat's going. He turns around. And George is still sitting on the canoe. And I'm in the back, like ripping across the lake at like, I don't know, 15, 20 miles an hour. Definitely the fastest this kind of canoe has ever gone. And they're like looking at George. Is he still on the canoe? Stand up. So anyway, he like stands up and off he goes. It worked totally great. He did ski, and I broke a land speed record or a water speed record in a regular old canoe. It's pretty funny.
Nice. So there's something we probably disagree on.
Okay.
Maybe not disagree. That's maybe too strong. But I have maybe different perspectives, which I think also relate to our different types of personalities, on the lengths of vacations.
Yeah.
You go every summer. You
know, we go for 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks.
Part of the reason for that is it's a long drive.
Right.
It's a 15-hour drive.
So it's a two-day drive. Two-day drive back. So, four days out of 2 weeks.
Yeah, like you're not going to go for a week if half the time is traveling. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally get that.
But yes, I don't mind a longer vacation.
See, so what happens to me when I extend my vacation? So I've actually only been on, I think the longest vacation that I've been on was with probably my wife on our 10-year anniversary to Ireland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I think that's probably been my longest, like, since I've been an adult. Like, I went to the cabins with you. I don't think we were there for 2 weeks, but, like...
Probably a week.
Probably a week. But that was, a 11-day deal with a flight back. So, it was almost 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the longest I think I've probably ever really vacationed. Quote unquote. I don't like it. Because it becomes more work for me. Because
just adds to your stress.
Yeah, it just adds, because it's like I enjoy shorter vacations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's something that's come out recently, or maybe not, I say recently, within the last 10, 15, 20 years, I don't know, of like people who take 3 to 4 day vacations, multiple 3 or 4 day vacations, and how it actually yields better results of feeling rejuvenated and feeling like relaxed and everything, because you're getting to do it more often, because you don't have to plan for so long, and you actually can take a longer weekend or whatever to wherever you want to go.
Sure.
For me, after about the 3 or 4 day period, I'm starting to be like, I need to get back into my routine. I actually desire to be back in my routine. I actually desire to kind of, like, that's enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where it's like, I actually want to go back to work, because every day that now I'm not at work, it's actually, I'm doubling up on work. Like, I'm going to have to catch up on this later.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's not just something that I want, like, that's, it becomes more work. Like, I end up just sitting there thinking about all the work that I'm going to end up having to do.
Right. Yeah.
As I'm wherever I am.
Sure. Yeah. I totally get that. And especially after 2020, when everybody learned to work from home, I do think it makes stepping away completely very hard, almost impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I would still work a little bit during the day, during the week while mm-hmm. I'm gone, because it's just so easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes it was only 15 minutes. Okay, you know, I'm just checking in emails, making sure that there's like not a fire that needs to be put out.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's not, okay, good. I'm walking away because I'm on vacation, right? Mm-hmm. Other times it was longer than that, but it was, you know, I try to always make sure I'm not working today.
Right. I'm just doing priorities.
Right. I'm just like, I'm just making sure the ship is not sinking.
Right.
Or something that absolutely needs to be taken care of. And
but I also thrive on routine. And so when I get out of routine.
Yes. So when I go on vacation, I always do have like a 2-day period that's a little bit weird, where I have to get in. I actually establish a new routine. Like I have a vacation routine. I don't pray the same way. I pray differently when I'm on vacation because I'm in a different place,
mm-hmm.
right? Where I don't have my prayer. I don't have my oratory to go mm-hmm. kneel down in the morning. The schedules are all crazy.
Right.
Kids are not going to bed at 8 o'clock.
Right.
On vacation.
No.
Okay. And so part of it is I just like, hey, just a recognition of things are not that way. We're on vacation. Things are going to be a little different. So my prayer life is a little bit different. I make sure to get my, you know, I keep my priorities. Okay. Because just because you're on vacation doesn't mean that you don't pray.
Yeah. Vacation from prayer.
No, there is no vacation from prayer. Okay. Yeah. There's no vacation from God.
It's called hell.
Yes. It's exactly right. So, it is a little bit weird for a couple of days, just shifting, mm-hmm. right? But after that, it for me, it goes really well. Or it goes fine.
But your personality is more of like, you're really good at just being in the moment and enjoying the time.
I'm very easygoing, just kind of by personality. Yeah.
Right. And for me, that's not my personality. I'm always thinking about the things I should be doing.
See, I don't have to worry about stuff, Adam, because I have you to stress out about it for me.
Right, exactly.
And I really thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
You're a good friend.
Yeah.
So, like, when you guys, though, you have some vacation traditions that you do with your family.
Sure.
Yeah, so, like, for me, I understand that the fact that we have this cabin in Michigan,
right?
You know, that's it's a family cabin. It's a huge. It's such a blessing. It's right. a gift, and that not very many people are going to be right. in that same situation. And so that's why I wanted to try to get that across. That you don't have to have that to do the stuff I'm talking
about.
No, we
all agree. Yeah, you're so great. Yeah, you're.
I also think. Yeah. I think that everybody agrees.
So here's something that I don't like doing on vacation. Is okay. like having a regiment.
Okay.
Which is probably why, like, by the time I don't do that for a couple days, I'm like, okay, ready to get back to my regiment. Like, that was good. Like,
what do you mean by regiment?
Well, I when I'm on vacation, I don't want, like, I
know you don't like to have itineraries about, like.
I do not.
Yeah. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. And I do not want you telling me where I have to be.
Uh-huh.
And what time I have to be there.
Because you want to kind of do nothing.
I don't want to say I don't want to do nothing. I just want, I don't want to be told what I have to do. Like, my whole life is all, like, I've set it up this way, so I'm not complaining, but, and I desire it. But I do certain things at certain times, and then once this time frame is up, then I go to this thing, and once I get this thing is up, then I go to this thing, like, and I am always on a schedule, mm-hmm. Like clockwork every day. When I wake up a little late, it's like it messes me up.
Sure.
Like I don't feel like I feel off kilter. Like there's just something that's off. And so when I do go on vacation, what does not feel like a vacation to me is people telling me where to be and what time. Because I do that all the time.
Yeah,
I do that
yeah.
every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to do whatever I want to do. Whenever I want to do it, which sounds very selfish, but like that sounds like that sounds like, but like that's, you know, it's more about like, I just want to do whatever our family wants to do.
Sure.
Like, let's just do that.
Right.
And let's have flexibility and just, you know, maybe we have one thing a day that we all want to go do. And it's like, okay, we'll go do that thing. Go to the zoo or whatever, you know, like do that one thing. But then I don't want everybody telling me what I have to do every part of the day.
So I think that's one of the good things about having, being very familiar with a place on vacation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because if it's new, you need to have done research and, you know, like scheduling and planning things out ahead of time, because we need to check this out. Right. This is like...
So one thing, when Haley and I went to Ireland together for her 10-year anniversary, right? So like there's some things we had to be scheduled about because... We're going to a place we've never been before.
Right.
We don't even know what Ireland is like. Never been somewhere like that, right? Mm-hmm. But we also built in incredible flexibility to the point, which gave us so much grace and so many blessings within the trip, because there's so many little towns as you're driving by in Ireland. They have beautiful churches.
Yeah, where you can let things happen.
That we could let things happen.
Which is leisure. That's a very leisurely attitude.
It's like, let's just stop here. Let's stop here and pray.
Here we are. Let's love this for a second.
Right. And it's not near as much of a consumer mentality, which I really liked how you brought that idea up between just being a part of or like consuming of.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of like, no, I just want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
This is beautiful. This little place is beautiful. I would have never picked this little spot, you know, in Ireland. No one has.
Very few people, right. Yeah. Although there are no ugly places in Ireland. Well, except for Dublin. There are some ugly places in Dublin.
Yeah, Dublin.
Sorry, Dubliners, but... You've got all your like,
you got issues.
Fancy glass buildings.
Listen,
now
that are
not
too.
Pretty. They're like, just not pretty.
Look at Chicago. Chicago.
Oh yeah, look, we got tons of problems.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah. So that's what I like. I like being able to be flexible and kind of spontaneous, and just like being able to do whatever we feel like doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that feels like, you know, I really like it for a couple of days, and it's like, okay, let's get back to routine.
Yeah, and just to like, so nobody sends me emails.
Which no one will.
I know, but I'm going to say this. I also do appreciate the idea of like going and seeing new things and like having new experiences and like actually getting to see the world. Great. Or like see different places.
Of course.
That's good too. There's pros and cons to all of this. And once again, I was just talking about the pros of stability today, because we didn't actually get to like really drive that point home, but all of that stuff we talked about is the benefit of it is that it creates stability for your children, that they themselves know what to expect, and that they learn to do certain things well, right? That you're, as the father of your family, presenting, which is what we do all the time. We give them good choices, right? And we help them to like do certain things well. And we teach them like, hey, this is the way to do something, right? And here we are. Once again, I'm presenting you with good options. And we're going to learn these particular things in a good way. And so having that stability, even on vacation, I think it's really great. And traditions are awesome.
Yeah, traditions are awesome. Yeah. Okay, cool.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.